with a spray in your green coffee, the Anima Christi. Soul of Christ, sanctify me. Body of Christ, save me. Blood of Christ, refresh me. Water from the side of Christ, wash me. Passion of Christ, strengthen me. O good Jesus, hear me.
Within thy wounds, hide me. Suffer me never to be separated from thee. From the malicious enemy, defend me. In the hour of death, call me, and bring me unto thee. And let thy saints, I may praise thee forever and ever.
Amen. One of the seven sacraments is the sacrament of penance, reconciliation, or how we call that, confession. But some people sometimes neglect or even disregard the rites or the confessing to a priest. But for me, it is one of the most important sacrament. It's a preparation, especially during the time of Lent, wherein this is the only time that we need reconciliation. Reconciliation from God, and of course, from our brothers and sisters. I will focus more on the sacrament of penance, and then fruits of penance or confession, and then some what we call the Lenten or Lent resolutions. I was saying that if ever there's a New Year's resolution, there's also a Lenten or Lent resolutions. But Lent is the time to prepare for Easter. The time or a season when the light is on. As we all know that every time we stop in a stoplight, we have to wait for the go signal for a green to lights on. And so it's the time when many people choose to come back the practice of the faith. Faith and prayer. Sometimes we forgot that it's only time for reflection, time for reconciliation, time for Lent, season of Lent. I remember one time I was busy, and then I go straight to the bed without praying. I already talked to some of my people in Sincolumba. And it was amazing that my eldest son, 5 years old, said, "Daddy, you did not pray. We have our own prayer, but we have our own, my two children have their own prayers during bedtime." And they said, "Oh, sorry for that." But what is important, it keeps us reminding our obligations. And he said, "Okay, you pray. I pray for my mom, my dad. I pray that we don't have a bad dreams. We pray that we have food, and we have, of course, our church, members of the church." And that time I was able to say, "Oh, that small boy reminds me of something important, which sometimes we neglected, right?" The season grow in stages. By the end, even the fourth century, there were already 3 weeks of this preparation. Afterwards, a fourth week was added. As we know that originally the period when catechumens were redyed for baptism, the faithful shared in this preparation because all Christians believed that they had their own human weaknesses and need to be recalled for reconciliation or conversion. But the end of the 5th century lasted 40 days, as it does today. The oldest and most important days in Lent, of course, Sundays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. But between the 6th and 8th centuries, the liturgy of the other days developed. But let us reflect. How are we going to look at Lent in this 20th century? And we confine ourselves to the earliest liturgical text, there can be doubt as to what should be our strategies or approach. We have some reflections, some meditations, and of course, our important thing to do is to have a retreat or recollection. Since Easter marks Christ's death and resurrection, this preparation for Easter is also a time for mortification, a time to dying to our own sins, to our own selves, in order to enter more deeply into the spirit of Christ. He said, we are new creation in Christ. Such an approach leads us to adopt a series of attitudes which makes us they have a deep faith, practicing self-denial, and of course, being conscious of the meaning of our own belief and religion. The sacrament of penance, confession, or reconciliation, I can say I have the title, the sacrament of penance, reconciliation, or confession in action. First, we have to understand that the sacrament is by definition an efficacious sign of grace instituted by Christ and entrusted to the church. Meaning to say, these are the gifts from God instituted, given to us to confer, to receive grace through the sacraments. A sacrament also dispenses divine light to us, and of course, through the action of the Holy Ghost. And I think that's the key to understand the importance in receiving the sacrament of confession. In fact, it is one of God's ordinary ways of drawing near to us and to God. That makes us closer to God, and of course, closing also to one another. Without the sacrament, even the greatest and most virtuous among us feel helpless, as if we need something lacking in our own practice, even right about religion. Sin Teresa of the Child Jesus, I know she is one of the great pillars of the church also, one of my favorite saints. Before her death, once said, in quote, I will spend my heaven doing good on earth. It is very brutal, but we make it as if closer to us. There are many good reasons in the saving confessions, but the best reason is this one. It satisfies us, a genuine and profound human's spiritual need. Since we are still human, we need spiritual and bodily need. We need to confess, of course, because we have sinned. And sin brings us about a decisive rupture in our relationship with God. He is merciful and always ready to forgive us. But yet, Jesus insists on unrestricted liberality regarding forgiveness. Christ makes clear that forgiveness cannot be occasional, but must remain constant. For the instant that we withhold forgiveness, then this is the moment we forget that we have been also forgiven. Absolutely indispensable to gospel living and keeps us focused on divine revelation and in divine mercy. In other words, forgiveness is the concrete way we seek first the Father's kingship and His way to holiness by spending our heaven doing good while we are on earth. And this is our purpose, first and foremost. Let's be realistic that we still need to be a real person doing good here on earth, because we believe that we have still the reward, life after death, right? Maybe that's the reason why some saints, some martyrs are surrendering themselves, because they do believe that there is life after death. Forgiveness comes easily in the three phases. First, in the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 5, verse 8, and chapter 22, verse 37, that forgiveness comes in a single-hearted. The desire to forgive forms the prayer, follows our pure heart. In the Gospel again of St. Matthew, chapter 6, verse 12. And last, forgiveness is the assurance of genuine reconciliation. You can find it in chapter 6, chapter 14, verse 15. When was our last time, as far as we remember, we receive confession or ask priest to confess? Because we do believe, as Father Michael said, that sacrament of reconciliation is one way of preparing and receiving the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist, the Holy Communion, as the first and foremost and essential part in our worship to God. Receiving communion is one way of our reconciliation and receiving God in our hearts. Participation in the Holy Eucharist assures us the ability to forgive others, especially when we feel as if it is the last thing we can do. The only sin that we not be forgiven is the sin against the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost that possesses the impotency of mercy and forgiveness. John Cousin, commentary on the book of Common Prayer, the title Anglicanism, once he said, "The truth is that in the priest's absolution, there is the true power and virtue of forgiveness. It's a beautiful and awesome praise. The truth that in the priest's absolution, there is the true power and virtue of forgiveness, which will most certainly take effect in baptism. By the grace we are forgiven, we confess one baptism, right? We profess in the creed for the forgiveness of sins and for the resurrection. Baptism indeed has the power, as Ananias told in the Acts chapter 22 verse 16, Ananias told Saul, "Be baptized and wash away your sins." The sacrament of baptism washes away the stain of transgressions, no matter great and small. Yet, in baptism, even the most deadly sins are washed away. I was thinking perhaps one reason that Jesus comes to John at the Jordan to be baptized is to show us that our attempts at happiness are bound to fail if the sacrament is not rooted in God Father's love. God knows that without the love of the Father, we are plunged into anger, pride, avarice, lust, wrath, anger, even selfishness, jealousy, greed, arrogance, apathy, and others. But we don't have lost hope. We have still time to await this world. In the confession, we have the fruits of reconciliation, fruits of penance or confession. The fruits of confession are manifested and profound. We experience this primarily through the order of receiving grace. Sometimes we notice an immediate improvement in our prayers. Sometimes we notice an improvement in our own relationship to God and one another. One time, I was not able to read the Bible or even the book of Common Prayers. But conscience makes me more intense, like pushing, "Oh, Father, you're not praying most of the Bible, the book of Common Prayer, even morning, evening prayer, but we have an obligation. We are ought to do that because that is our obligation. Not merely we are priests, but this is for the common good, for all of us. That prayers is the most important in our lives, especially at this time. Sometimes we sense renewed strength and our moral struggles against gossips. Sometimes we have that negative attitude or bad conscience. One of the common experiences of the penitent is a sense of relief and liberation. That's what I experienced every time I confess, as if there's something, an empty experience of God. After that, you can say, oh, this is really true that I received the voice of confession, because I feel like very energetic. And then I can sense that the Holy Spirit is with me. I can sense that there's already the clearness of my mind. A common experience of it is since a relief and liberation. To be restored to life as a child of God is to be truly liberated from sins, free from sins. The fruits of confession always arrive, of course, as a grace and a gift. Whatever small penance we perform, what is important, it is merely symbolic. It does little to upset our offenses against God, who is good, all good, all-knowing, omniscient, and deserving of all our love. We cannot earn God's forgiveness, and we cannot overcome sin by our own effort, right? We need God. That is the God who lives the light on us for confession. We leave those tasks to God when we go to confession. He waits to give us mercy. He waits to give us healing, spiritual healing, peace, joy, strength, self-knowledge, clarity, and most of all, love. Christ waits, in fact, to give us everything he has. In the Epistle of St. James, chapter 5, verses 14 to 15, we all know that saying, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, he shall be forgiven. It is clear that through our presbyters, through our priest, we are in good hands confessing our sins. Never underestimate the power and grace of prayer in case of illness. We must never lose faith and sight the fact that the miracles have been performed in the past and still performed even today. And through God's healing power, brought us to the intercession. Open new attempt is even made to determine the cause of illness, but nothing is asked about the sick person's identity. Sometimes it cannot be explained from medical science. Even the seriousness of his condition is not determined, neither the circumstances. One friend of mine said that I have a feeling of, you know, guilt. I am sick, physically sick, but I can't understand why I need more. He's that loving God. He needs more. That's God. Nothing is asked in any circumstances. True prayer for healing is not an experiment. It is not experiment. It's not even trial or error. It must be a true repentance of our own manifestation of God's love. Maybe it's true, right? It's just like trial and error. I have to try to pray. I have to try to confess. But it's not. I mean, let us be realistic that this time, especially the season of Lent, this is good preparation for us. It requires the highest form of trust in God on the part of the persons who prays. So patient in trust, God's mercy and compassion. Wow. That mercy and compassion, it's very difficult, right? How about others? Do you have the compassion? Do we have that mercy? Do you have that complete involvement on the side of the confessor or on the side of priest and penitent accepting God's will, which leads to the greatest miracle of physical and spiritual healing, which transcends all our understanding? Do I go to Mass? That's our resolution. Do I receive Holy Communion every Sunday and holy days of obligation? Christmas, New Year, Epiphany, Thanksgiving. Do I obey the Decalogue and the two great commandments of Jesus? Thou shalt love thy neighbor thyself. Love of God with all our heart, soul, and mind. Love our neighbor as ourself. Have I read the Bible? Have I prayed every day? Have I cared for my spouse? Have I been generous with my time? Have I been affectionate and loving? Have I cared for the spiritual needs of my children? Have I taught my children the gospel values and the commandments of God? Have I a good Christian witness to my neighbors? Have I a proper Christian concern for the poor and needy? These are kind of reflections that sometimes hard to practice. Easy to say, but hard to practice. But the forgiveness of sins is a power of the church that we confess even in the creed. It is a great power, an awesome authority, and with such power comes great responsibility. As what Father Michael did, it's nice sometimes to reflect. Give more time to ourselves and ask, how far is my relationship to God? How far is my relationship to one another? Because sometimes we forgot that we need prayers. We forgot that we need God in our lives. So we need some break. We need some time. God places a sacred trust in his priest or presbyters by empowering them to hear our confessions. How many of us go to the priest and ask forgiveness or confession? A friend of mine said, Father, There's no need for me to go confession. He's just a human being. He's just a person. Why I go confess and go to my room, close the door, close my window, and pray to God? You are right. Bingo. It's your decision. We place our deepest trust in priests by confessing our sins to them. By the power and authority of the church, priests have given authority to confess and absolve sins. The church guarantees that through the trust, through the seal of confession, confessional. The seal of confessional is the priest's duty not to disclose anything he learns from penitents during the sacrament of penance. Rather, it is absolute and it is sacred. Right, Father?
Absolute.
Confession. The penitent church should respect every priest's obligation to keep the seal. Otherwise, he will be excommunicated. If we have confessed certain sins sacramentally, we should remind our priest later. Or we notice something. When we're outside the confessional, and of course, it is something that every priest senses in a powerful way. We receive it as a gift and grace from God. I know that my brother priest trying their best would rather die, and even some have died already, rather than break. Brother priest would rather die, and some have died, rather than break this most sacred trust of the sacrament of confession. For me, forgiveness is like a hindrance sometimes. It's hard to forgive, especially if we are already in the midst of chaotic problem. Every time we see our enemies, as if we say, instead of saying, peace be with you, we say, peace be with you. Oh. Peace be with you. Is there any peace there? No, we are just trying ourselves. That's the way sometimes Roman Catholics do. I'm sorry to say that. I remember every time we are from the church, going out from the church, brothers, gossiping. Oh, yes, see, where is the virtues of forgiveness, peace? Don't go to the church if that's your attitude. Confession is unique among the sacraments. Why? Because it is the only one that administered in secret. Wow. Penance is the one rite that is all about the penitent, all about your relationship to God and yourself. The priest is present as a mediator, as an instrument, as the voice of Christ pronouncing absolution, but that must mark the limit of his involvement with the sins of any penitent. Rather, his respect for that limit must be absolute. On part of the penitent, too, you should respect every priest's obligation or presbyter's obligation to keep the seal of confession. If we have confessed certain sins sacramentally, we should remind Father them later. When we're outside the confessional, it is something that every priest senses in a powerful way. We receive it as a gift and grace from God, and that we are one with Christ. I find it easy to forgive the sacrament of penance. Sometimes some people got sick hearing the confessions, hearing the sins from the people, sometimes said, oh, I have no more power to absolve, because it's not easy. I mean, it is easy for me to understand the agony in the garden. I picture a very heavy weight of sin over our Lord's shoulders. I can see God's struggle to shake off the load, His sweet blood. The agony of trying to forgive is like that, I think. It passes through sweet blood and tears. And so I can see how this struggle to forgive is a supernatural decision for me to forgive, just as Jesus did forgive. I find it easy to forgive in the sacrament of penance. Maybe perhaps some clergy or priest say it is easy to forgive the sacrament of penance because of the sins that are confessed have not been committed against me personally. And yet, Jesus did say again, I quote, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. To live as faith community, of course, is to learn to carry one another's burden. To be patient with the weakness of others, and to be constantly renewed, washed by the experience of learning to forgive. To forgive to err is human, but of course, they say that to forgive is human. To err is human, but to forgive is divine. So this is the right time, I think, for us to reflect and go back our past experiences and ask ourselves in a few minutes, in a second of silence, ask ourselves, do I have a good confession to God? Do I have a good confession to the priest, to our brothers and sisters? If in that case, we are the only one who can answer our questions, especially at this time. We need God in our lives. Amen.
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 I'm glad you brought up John Cusson. He's my favorite Anglican divine. I think I told you that once. And of course, he was the Lord Bishop of Durham. He was one of the great Anglican divines of the 17th century, the 1600s.
Write his works.
And so you're not dealing with a Roman Catholic there, you're dealing with a true Anglican.
Yes.
He was one of the great Anglican divines at that time. In roughly 1661, 1662, he was the Bishop of Europe. The other thing is, priests do not remember, because they have taught themselves not to remember by God's grace. So when you walk out of that confessional, that's the end of the deal.
Yeah, right.
secondly, we are all too filled with the sin of pride. We think our sins are unique. I have news for you. There is no different sin. There is no unique sin. They're all very old and very boring.
Exactly right. Amen.
The third thing is, there's a great story, that's a story, about a Roman Catholic priest, it may have even been about the Corleone himself, who heard confessions all day, was just exhausted with hearing confessions. And this man comes in and kneels down, and he starts to confess all his sins, and he finally gets to the point, he said, and I have committed murder. And the priest is weary, and he says, how many times, my son? How many times?
let's see the court.
And the other things you'll never hear a priest say in a confessional is, "You did that again?" And you will never say, "Well, that's nothing. You should have heard what Bill did."
You're right, Father. Thank you.
Is there any sin that if I bring to the confessional that I won't get absolution for?
I would think the one you're not contending for.
There's no sin which you cannot get absolution
for. Yeah, right.
But the confessor, if you indicate by your confession that you are not truly sorry and you have no intention of amendment, the priest may withhold absolution.
Right.
And I've had to do that very few times, maybe twice in 57 and a half years. But, I mean, if someone comes and says, makes it plain, I'm confessing my sins so I can go out and do it again.
Yeah.
Now, the priest has to withhold absolution. Remember, Jesus said to the woman taken in the act of adultery, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Now, there has to be that, and I get into some of that in my class.
Mother, I'll never ever do that again. This time
And what a lot of people don't understand too is the absolution is technically conditional.
Yes. Oh yeah.
It's on you following through.
It's also conditional upon the fact that it was honest.
Yeah.
I mean, and the priest is like the psychiatrist. The psychiatrist, if you're not going to tell them the truth, he can't help
you. Yeah, right.
See? If you don't tell the priest the truth, you may fool the priest, but you don't fool God.
The condition is
conditional upon the verity, the truth of what you have said, and the fact that you are sorry and intend to do better is conditional on all those things.
Does that mean that priests have a truth meter?
No, they don't. It's
exactly that. We don't have one.
It's conditional. The priest pronounces the absolution, but it's a conditional absolution. If you had lied to him and all that, then God is not going to ratify what the priest says.
Yeah, right.
That's the point.
Amen.
You can fool me.
Power of veto.
God has the absolute veto. Right?
And of course, don't worry. The sacrament of penance is also called sacramental zeal.
Yes.
Father, I'm just curious. How do you unload all the burdens of those confessing to you?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I didn't get rid of them.
Yeah, for me, I have just only one person who confessed me. It's not for me. I just making sure that I have still the power and the force, the strength, and then I leave it to God, everything.
Because do you experience that if somebody's telling her or his problem, you are affected and you feel the burden, and then you get weakened? How do you overcome those kinds?
Of course, prayer. Offering yourselves to God. I mean, for me, this is for
unless you're dealing with a very difficult
grim
case,
sin,
very difficult case. The fact is, let's remember, Anglicans are a small group of Christians. And many Anglicans don't make their confession. Unlike the Corleone, I'm not likely to be burdened down 7-8 hours a day hearing people's confessions. Would that I was, but I'm not burdened with that.
So I think
we don't have that terrible burden. In some large Roman Catholic parishes with 3,000 or 4,000 members, and you're having confessions for 2 or 3 hours.
You don't take on that.
No, you're hearing. You don't take it on, but you're hearing. If you read in the prayers of preparation, the hearing confession from the priest manual, there are prayers that you will not be affected by the sins of which you hear. Because we can be affected by what we do.
Bishop Cahoon told me that he never remembered when he left, once he left the confessional, he didn't actually remember what he was told. That because of the prayers that he said, that he just never So he didn't like remember, you know, Joe. The next time that he saw Joe, he wasn't thinking, oh my God, I can't believe that he did that.
Yeah.
He forgot them.
Mm-hmm. I think that's said, right.
Yeah, he just never, he didn't remember them again.
Yeah. I remember one of my favorite saint, you know, Saint Jean Marie Vianney. He do confession in the confessional box 24 hours.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, but for him, I say only prayers that makes him strength, make him good relationship to God.
One of my good friends is Robert County priest in Queens. His thousands of parishioners.
Yeah.
He tells me that he forgets when he hears in the confession, the minute he walks out, the one thing that has stuck with him is he says he's glad he's not married.
That's important.
He made his wife
be like
soul.
I'm so
glad.
Thanks, Father.
Do you want to
whenever you're ready, 5 minutes.